Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Celtic Preacher. It is podcast 219. And I sometimes wonder if we make things too complicated when it comes to guidance, being guided by God and knowing what to do. This whole idea of being led and guided, instructed really by God. And Jesus teaches that it's really not that complicated. Not really. When it comes to our listening to God's direction and leading and God leading our, giving us direction, Jesus said, well, first of all, it comes naturally. It's as easy as a sheep listening to a shepherd. Because this is one of his lines, you know, my sheep hear my voice. And one of the names that he liked to call himself was the Good Shepherd. And so we have this idea in Scripture that it's like we were created to be in communication with God. Now, if you don't know that much about sheep and shepherds, you've probably heard that they do have sheep, do have capacity to know who their shepherd is, right? I mean, they're quite bright in many ways. They can follow instruction. Sheep can recognize up to 50 other sheep and remember them for 2 years. That's quite a lot of sheep, right? Their memory's pretty good. And they can also recognize human faces. So it's just worth noting that Jesus uses this sheep and shepherd metaphor to describe people's, our, relationship with God. And he's saying that, yeah, sheep know their shepherd. We see this all around us every day, those of us who live in regions that have sheep. We know this. And so it is with people. So it is with people who are following Christ, listening to God. There's a built-in capacity to listen and follow. And it's like it's instinctive. It's like the Canadian geese flying south in fall, right? Who taught them that? Well, nobody taught them, you know, because migration is instinctive. No one taught us to get hungry. No one taught us that we need to sleep when we're tired, right? There's so many things in our lives that are simply built into the creature, us. Nobody teaches us how to get angry. Nobody teaches us how to get sad. It's part of being the creature that we were created to be. It's part of what it means to be human. I'm suggesting that when Jesus says that we are like sheep and he is a good shepherd, I'm suggesting that he's saying that we have this built-in capacity to hear and follow instructions from our shepherd. That we have this built-in capacity to receive a leading or a sense of direction or take a correction. Anything really that the shepherd does with the sheep in a way, right? This is what shepherds do with sheep. They lead them. They move them from one field to another field. If they're going in the wrong direction, they correct them. And he's saying, yeah, just like a good shepherd looks after sheep, so I will guide you. And what really struck me this time is that this whole idea of we have what it takes to listen. Because I think sometimes we make, for those of us who have, you know, been in the church a while and think about God's leading and how the scripture works and how do we listen to God, I think we can make it more complicated than it actually is. Because Jesus is saying here, sheep can listen to the shepherd. So that's not really going to be a problem for you. you can learn how to be led by God. You have everything that it takes to be instructed by God. You have the ability to listen, which takes the pressure off, right? Because it takes the pressure off this whole idea of, well, what if I can't hear? Or what if I take the wrong path? Well, you take the wrong path, the shepherd will correct you. Well, what if I can't hear? Well, if you can't hear for some reason, the shepherd will say it in another way, right? Throughout the entire scripture, and this is the whole Bible, this is also the Hebrew scripture, there's this image of God like a shepherd. Isn't that interesting? It's not just the New Testament. Although when Jesus speaks about being a shepherd, he adds the word good. He wants us to know what kind of shepherd. So he liked the title, I am the good shepherd. So for Jesus, that word, that descriptive word, is really important, because it's not just enough to know that God's like a shepherd. Jesus is saying, no. This is a good shepherd. So you can trust in this one. This is one that guides. This is one that protects. This is the one that can lead you, right? This is a good shepherd. This is the kind of shepherd that wants what is best for you. So in matters of decisions you have to make, or guidance you need for your life, or sensing what direction to go, or what to say in a difficult situation, or how to respond to someone or something, Jesus is saying, yes, and all these things, and in so much more, you have an inborn natural capacity to do this. So no need to make it any harder than that. You have this. You can do this. You can be guided by a shepherd who only wants good for you. Or you might have heard that wonderful poetic line from Psalm 23, I'm led to green pastures, right? You're not being led off a cliff here. The good shepherd leads you to green pastures. So there's a nice image there. It's something that's good, pleasant, needed. Yeah, I think that part is important to know, that the good shepherd, I think that's important, because when we question God's goodness, which we can sometimes do, our security and our trust quickly crumble. It's the exact same thing that happens with a person, right? When you have someone in your life, if you start to question their goodness, you think, no, I'm not really sure about this person. I don't really know if this person has good for me. Well, you know that relationship's going to start to go downhill, don't you? Because your security and your trust quickly crumble. But here Jesus is saying, no, God, always good, always good. So what I want to talk to you about today is this whole idea of leading, and how I have found, I'm going to just take the last week, and I'm going to just share a few things of how I have experienced the shepherd guiding and leading me. And I thought, why don't I just keep it within the last 7 days, rather than going back years and years and years and telling you about, you know, unusually dramatic experiences, which can happen, right? But it's like, let's just do a normal sort of a week. How does God guide us and lead us within just a regular week? And so because it was a regular week, it was filled with all the usual ups and downs. It was some days were better than others, and some parts of the day were better than others. Some parts were very encouraging and strengthening. Some parts were discouraging. Some parts were disappointing. Just your regular, the ins and outs of life, right? So here's what I found. Here's what I, when I was looking back and sort of paying attention to, okay, what does this actually look like when the Good Shepherd starts to guide? What is it? How do you put legs on that, in other words? And here's what I found as I thought about last week. One of the things that happened last week was, is that I received similar advice from two or three people, not just one person, but three people. And I think it's always good to pay attention to wise counsel of, I think the wise counsel of friends is really important. I think it's very helpful to have people in your life who know you and who understand your path, who understand the spiritual path you're on, people who have an interest in following the shepherd themselves. They're the best kinds in many ways because they'll relate to you the most. And I have found that God uses people to guide us. I have lost count of the number of times if I get particularly disappointed in a situation, I've heard many people say over the years, don't take this personally. Because they're obviously seeing something that I'm not seeing, right? And this is what happened last week, interestingly enough. Three people and different sorts of ways of saying it. But the gist of the message was, you know, Glenda, when you go through times like this, that's nothing to do with you. Don't take it personally. That's nothing to do with you. Now, here's the thing. Maybe you can brush off, if somebody gives you a piece of advice and it's just one person, you can probably just dismiss that. If you wanted to, right, you could dismiss it and you could say, oh, well, that's just them. They're just saying that. But if you have several people giving you the same message two or three times in 1 week, for me, that would definitely get my attention as an example of, oh, maybe God's trying to get through to me here. Maybe God is tapping me on the shoulder here, getting my attention through wise counsel. So when that happened to me last week, when the third person said that, you don't take these things personally, this is nothing about you, that's when I really started to pay attention and listen and think, you know, I think that this is something that the Spirit of God is communicating to me. So there's one way last week that I found the shepherd guiding. Now, here's another way I found, and this is not going to be a surprising way for those of you who have been a part of a traditional church setting, because this is a real common way. There's a line in the Psalms that says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's the line, your word, meaning the scripture is a light to my path. And it's the idea that God can take a line or a story or a narrative from scripture and use it to help you understand the present situation that you're wondering about, whatever that would be. So what happened was, some days are more challenging than others, and sometimes it doesn't take that much to get you out of sorts. You know, you have to get up in the morning and you go to the dentist. Well, that's not a great start, is it? Or the guy who's supposed to come and fix your dishwasher doesn't show up, or you're rushing to finish your taxes and there's a form missing. I mean, there's so many little bits and pieces that can happen. Nothing seriously life-changing in many ways, but, you know, you can kind of get caught up in the ups and downs of regular life. Oh, you don't really want to do this particular chore that you have to do, or there's some mundane stuff that you can't be bothered doing, or there's a person that's causing you more work, or they require more patience that you feel that you have. I'm just trying to basically describe a kind of a regular, ordinary, the ups and downs of life, right? Now, what I've noticed about this is, in the midst of an up and down day, a thought came to my mind. Now, the shepherd uses our minds and our thoughts to guide us, right? So anytime you have a thought, I'm not necessarily saying every thought is from God. I mean, that's a whole discernment process that is worth a teaching in and of itself. But I will say that God does use our thoughts to guide us. And so I was in the midst of this up and down day. And the thing about up and down days is that they can be tiring because you're going back and forth all the time. Things are going well in 1 hour and you're happy and everything's feeling like it's on track, and then something doesn't go the way you wanted the next hour, so you're getting a bit disappointed and you're kind of frustrated. Oh, and then something else happens. Oh, well, then you're back up again. Oh, this is kind of fun. And I thought, you know, all this back and forth, that's not quite stable. All of the ups and downs, surely there's another way to be, have a more firm foundation. And the thought that came to my mind was, it was this line from Scripture. It was, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, this was written by the Apostle Paul while he's in prison. He's not going through a good time. But he wrote this to encourage his congregation when he's in very difficult circumstances. And he writes this line, rejoice in the Lord. So he's saying, you know what I've found? You can't have your focus entirely on your circumstances, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Otherwise, you're going to be up and down all the time, right? So what the apostle found was that rather than look at his circumstances, and this is what he's passing on to his church, he's saying, Philippians, you know, you've got to learn how to focus and rejoice in the one who is taking care of you and providing for you and is with you and is strong and is always there for you, no matter what happens. In other words, rejoice in God, not your circumstances. If you look at your circumstances, you will get discouraged when they're not going the way you want them to go. I mean, there's not going to be that much stability. You're going to be high, you're going to be low. You're going to be okay, then not okay. And this can be changing all the time, right? So it's like if we want some more stable times, we're not getting jerked around by other people's emotions or opinions or politics or views or controlling behavior or whatever, right? There's so many things, right, that can come in and steal our joy. The Apostle Paul saying, yeah, well, that's the thing. You have to learn how to take your focus off the circumstance and rejoice in God. Now, what's interesting about this is that that line from the scripture came to me during a day that was particularly tiring day, because it was a day that was filled with a lot of good stuff and a lot of negative stuff, which is kind of strange in a way, because usually they're sort of, you know, some good, some bad, nothing major, sort of steady-ish. Steady-ish is the usual way. But one day last week, got some really great news, then I got some really disappointing news. And then I got some really good news again, and then I got some more disappointing news. And it was like, wow, I'm up and down like a yo-yo here. What is going on? It was like, rejoice in the Lord. Where are you getting your stability? Where are you getting your stability? Now, I took that for me, I took that line coming into my head as an example of the shepherd leading last week. So, yeah, that was just like in the last, these two things happened in the last 5 days. The three friends who mentioned this, the same piece of counsel, don't take it personally. And then the scripture that came into my mind about where I find stability during a day that was one of these strange days where it was really good 1 minute and then the next hour something else happened and then the next hour it's good and the next hour it's bad. It's kind of an exhausting day, let me tell you. So there we go. Two ways. And let me give you another one. There's many more, but I don't want to keep, you know, fill up with too many things here. But these are the things that I've found this last week. And it's what I think the third way that the shepherd leads us, and there's more, right? I'm only going to give you three. But the third way is, I think I'm going to call it, I'll use the old traditional language of the church, and it's called an inner conviction. Now, some contemporary language might be a prompting, a desire to move in a particular direction. It's a sense of, I think I need to move ahead in this particular way. It tends to be body-based rather than mentally-based, but it's an inner conviction, an urge to do something, say something, go this way, not go this way. It could be a prompting to stop too. And it's this idea that, and there's a lot of, we could talk about this too, but it's this whole idea that God works in us to will and to do God's will. That's actually one of the promises. Actually, that's from Philippians 2. And by the way, if you've never ever read the Bible and you have no idea where you would even start, I think Philippians is a great little book, and it's really short and it's in the New Testament, and I think you'll find it encouraging. I would start there. Why not, right? Why not? Just see if a line comes out and speaks to you. Anyway, there's a line in Philippians that says, God works in us to will and to do. So I think we need to pay attention to this. Anytime we have an inclination or a sense, I should call this person, or I should not be so rash here, I should wait, or I should pause and not say anything at all in this situation. Now, sometimes this inner conviction can be very subtle, and it can be overridden, unfortunately, because it can be subtle. Sometimes God has a still small voice. Now, but then at other times too, it's something that you absolutely can't ignore. You say, you know what? I know this is going to be hard, but I really believe that this is the right thing for us to do. Yeah, like a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about, what am I going to do for office help? I thought, who am I going to get to get some office help? And it just came to my mind. I thought, why don't you call Dawn and ask if she'll come in and at least learn how to do some of the stuff so that you can call her as a backup person for help. I hadn't really thought about Dawn, really. I thought it'd be maybe good if she could just be some backup help. When I called her, and she said, I'd love to help. Not just as backup. I would like to come and work and help you in the office. It was like, wow. Things started to fall together. You know, they just sort of started to fall into place. I hadn't necessarily considered. It wasn't like one of these plans that I had thought out, and I thought, well, you know, first I'll do this, then I'll do that, and then if that doesn't work, then I'll do something. It's just this little subtle prod. Why don't you call Dawn, see if she'll help? And then I was like, yeah, I can do that. I can help. Interesting, isn't it? And when I look back now on the week, I thought, you know what? That sounds an awful lot like the Good Shepherd giving me a little prompt. Go this way. Pick up the phone. Call this person. Check in. See how this one's doing. I think that is another way that the Shepherd guides us. Now, again, I'm just giving you two or three things that happened to me last week. There's many other ways too. God is very creative in the way that God leads us and guides us. But yeah, I think when you look at the test of time and you look at Scripture, all of these three, like that, the inner conviction and the wise counsel and the Scripture are very common ways that have worked for millennium here. Millennium, people have been using these three ways. Yeah, so I want to encourage you with that today. I want to encourage you with the sense that, especially this whole idea, that it doesn't have to be hard. You know, it's simply about, it's like Jesus said, no, you have capacity to do this. Sheep can hear the shepherd. It's a part of, it's built into you. So don't worry about, you know, oh, what if I can't hear, or what if I'm, you know, not doing it right. It's like you say, no, you can hear. And of course the promises that God gives us is, I will guide you. Isn't that a great promise? I will guide you. I will guide you. So wherever you are today and you're wondering and you're not sure, there the Good Shepherd comes along and says, whatever it is, you can be sure, I will guide you. There's the prayer and the heart cry. It's like, thank you, God, that you're in this with me and that you guide me. And you'll see me through.